You're listening to the WILS Weekend Kickoff on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS. Dave Benton here with Scott Eckersley, my co-host and producer. Now joined by SpartanMag.com, Rico Beard, talking a little Michigan State recruiting. Rico, how you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Oh, hanging in there. Okay, so really bland question to start off. How do you rate Mark D'Antonio's recruiting job this year?
How do you rate it? Well, if you have to give it a grade, I couldn't. I would say that he did an excellent job at going after offensive and defensive linemen. I think that he saw, especially in the two games that he lost, that he got manhandled. That Michigan State got manhandled against especially Alabama. But Iowa and Alabama really let him have it, and he saw that he needed size on that offensive line. And you can't go wrong with bringing in 11 people on the line, because out of the 11, you know, five or six may actually pan out, but it provides you depth to go along with the talent that they already have. To give it an actual grade, you got to wait a couple of years, in my opinion, because, you know, somebody can end up being a bust that you thought was going to be a superstar. So I would say that I think he did a good job in addressing the needs of the team and going after linemen.
You mentioned superstars. I noticed that Michigan State this year, it seemed like they were in the running for more high-profile players. They may not have gotten them, but it seemed like they were in the running. Do you consider that a victory at this point in the development of Michigan State, or do you think that they should be aiming to get more of these guys, not just be in the running?
Well, being that you're Michigan State, they're not – and I know a lot of Spartan fans don't want to hear this, but you're not a national team as of right now. You're still somewhat of a regional team. So nationwide, you're not going to pull in the top five-star recruits. You won't see your hat getting chose on ESPN on signing day. But that being said, the fact that you were in the running for a lot of people, Savon Hutton, the running back out of New Jersey, you know, had Michigan, was down to Rutgers in Michigan State. He was like the number five player in the nation. Didn't come to Michigan State because he would have been at least sixth or seventh on the depth chart at running back. So it's good that you're getting in on these people, but I think the next step for definitely on his staff is to actually land some of these people.
We're talking with Rico Beard from Spartan Mag. Rico, it's Scott. What does it take to get to that level where they will get the superstars for MSU?
I think that they're going to have to continue their success. I think that they're going to have to consistently win 9-10 games a year, challenge for the Big Ten title, win some Big Ten titles. But the most important thing that D'Antonio and his staff have to do, they got to win their bowl games, because that's the last taste in most fans and most recruits' mouth is what you did in the bowl game. And if that's the case, then they saw what Alabama did and to Michigan State in the Capital One Bowl, and it looks as if you're a cute team, but you're not quite ready to play against the big boys. So you got to go out and you got to win those games. Then, nationwide, people will look at you and start watching you, because, you know, we're kind of spoiled in this area because we can see them on the Big Ten Network and on, you know, the local stations. But a national recruit may only see Michigan State once or twice. The last time they saw Michigan State, they ran Little Giants and beat Notre Dame. The next time they saw Michigan State, you know, Alabama rolled up about 49 unanswered points on them.
Rico, I'm just kind of curious, in your evaluation of the players that you've seen, not necessarily their rankings on Rivals.com or how ready that they are to play right now, who are the best three recruits that you saw that Michigan State snagged?
The best three recruits, I think number one, without any doubt, is LT, Lawrence Thomas. I think he is going to come in, and he's going to be asked to start. I talked to him on signing day. And he said that they told him they're going to give him a shot to start at linebacker and see how that goes. They may move him eventually to the defensive line, but being that Greg Jones and Eric Gordon is gone, it's quite a void at linebacker. So they're going to give him a shot there. Also, another linebacker coming in there with him is Tawan Jones from Anchor Bay. This kid, I think, is going to be that outside linebacker that Michigan State never had. He's going to bring a lot of the skills that he has from playing safety in high school, but he has the size for linebacker. He's fast, he's quick, he's tall, he's got a lot of athleticism. I think he's going to see some time immediately playing in the two deep. Also, the third guy. The third guy that he's good, but I don't think he's going to see immediate time is the wide receiver out of Florida.
Talking Juwan Caesar?
Yeah, Caesar. But he's a big receiver, but, you know, Michigan State, of course, has a lot of big receivers. But I think maybe, just maybe, the last guy could either be Arjun Calhoun, the safety corner out of from Canada. I think that he will probably see some time in at safety. He's big and he's fast. He blew away the staff at the Spartan camp over the summer by running a consistent 4.3. And they saw that, you know, he had the size, he had the speed, he's great coverage skills, and I think that you'll see him getting some immediate playing time. So I would say probably Arjun, LT, and Tawan will probably be the three guys that you'll immediately see.
Well, a playmaker back in the secondary would be huge for them. We're talking to Rico Beard from Spartan Mag here on the Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS. Rico, you talked about it earlier, how linemen, they need a couple years. We won't hear from them, or you wait a little bit to kind of grade them. Who are a couple guys who are on the team, maybe got redshirted, or we just haven't heard from on the O-line the last couple years that will be coming out now?
I think probably the biggest two would be David Barron and if he's healthy, Henry Conway. Those two were injured, and they both were expected to make a great push for the offensive line last year, but Barron had a back injury, and Conway had the neck injury over the summer that just kept him immobilized. Now, from my understanding, you know, both are coming into this spring practice coming up healthy and will be able to compete on the offensive line. If everything holds the way it is and there's no relapse in injury, you're looking at your next two bookend tackles coming in for the next year. You'll probably have Fufu Nnadi, the junior college offensive lineman, that in this class. He may compete on that offensive line, too, because he already has some experience, and he has 3 years to play, too, for Michigan State. So he'll push him. And also Skylar Stroffner on the offensive line, too. I think that he's a guy that redshirted last year, and from what I've been told, he's really pushing to crack the starting lineup, or at least the two deep on the offensive line.
Rico, before we jump over to basketball, because I do want to get your opinion on what's going on with Spartan basketball, just, I know you are very in-depth with in-state Michigan recruiting. Of the recruits in Michigan, which school did the best job of grabbing Michigan players?
Which school?
Of any school, like MAC schools, of Central, Eastern, Western, Michigan State, Michigan, who did the best job of in-state recruiting this year?
Probably the best job of overall in-state recruiting may have gone to Central Michigan with Dan Enos. He was a big recruiter for Michigan State, and he went out, and, you know, it's no slight to Central Michigan, but he kind of addressed all the fringe players who, you know, would have to go to the major colleges and wait a long time, and said, hey, you can come here. As Alex Niznak told him, look, you can be my next quarterback here at Central Michigan, so you come here with me, and I'll make you the starter. So Enos in Central Michigan did a great job of getting the fringe talent, the talent that probably would not have seen the field had they gone to a Michigan or Michigan State, but they can go to Central Michigan, and in a few years, everybody will scratch their head and say, you know, how did this guy not end up at one of the big schools? Kind of the Antonio Brown type of thing. You know, he's now playing in the Super Bowl, and everybody's like, well, you know, how did he get past Michigan and Michigan State? Well, sometimes kids develop late, and if you are a good evaluator of talent, you can then, you know, pluck that kid, let him grow in your program, and you're looking at a guy who will be there for 4 years.
Rico, I want to switch over to basketball now. I talked to you at halftime of pretty much every game, and they haven't been happy conversations we've been having the last few games, I can say. And obviously we didn't talk, Iowa was an away game, and that was the worst performance I've ever seen. Dave agrees with me on that. Where's this team at, and what can they do to turn it around, if possible?
You know what? If I could answer that question, then I probably would have an office sitting right outside the Breslin Center.
Good point.
That's something that only Tom Izzo really has to reel this team back in. Right now, they are at the crossroads. the last three games that they played were supposed to be the three games that that was supposed to set the team back on the right path. You were playing the bottom of the Big Ten, home game against Michigan, home game against Indiana, away at Iowa. You were supposed to not only beat these teams, but you were supposed to beat them so badly that your bench, and you know, you were able to get key minutes. Keith Appling would have been able to run the point guard position. But now you go in and you lose to Michigan for the first time in 14 years at home. If it wasn't for Draymond Green's two free throws, you would have lost to Indiana, but you did beat them in overtime, and then you just get shellacked in Iowa. It was a deer in the headlights from the opening tip. I turned it on. I'm like, it's 7-2 already, and the score just kept going up and up and up like a video game. And I'm looking like, does Michigan State have a run in them? And it just appears that this team has forgotten. They've lost their way, and they've forgotten what it is what their goals are. I mean, if this were a movie right now, you know, Apollo Creed would be calling up this team saying, let's take a run on the beach. You guys got to get refocused again because they've lost their way. They just have a blank look in their eyes, and they're looking to each other for someone to step forward and do something. And unfortunately, you know, Kalen and Darrell aren't those types of leaders. So right now they're kind of lost, and Izzo has to bring this team in because the season's not over yet, but it can be over.
I was about to say, it's darn close.
I can see this going one of two ways. I mean, if Izzo corrects this ship, they're going to erect a statue of him in East Lansing. But because right now, I think the magic number is they can only, if they lose 14 games or less, I think the NCAA tournament will put them, the NCAA will put them in the tournament.
You think if they finish 16-14 and do okay in the Big Ten tournament, you think that they could get in?
Well, I think if that was the case, if my math was correct, I think they would finish 18-14.
Well, I think, what do they got, 8 games left, I think?
I
don't know. Okay, let's say 18-14. Let's say 18-14.
Well, the precedent is set because, Arizona made it into the tournament a few years ago with an 18-14 record. Not a very good RPI. But I think the NCAA saw that Arizona had the longest consecutive streak in being in the NCAA tournament, and they kind of gave him a mulligan and stuck him in the tournament.
It's marketable if you do that, absolutely.
And I think that Michigan State will get the same thing because they'll look at the strength of schedule, they'll look at the RPI, and they'll say, you know what, you're back-to-back Final Four participants, you're Tom Izzo coach team, and you drive marketing. I mean, the basketball team gets the perks that the football team does not. The basketball team is recognized nationally. So people want to see Michigan State because they're known for their toughness. A lot of people are in kind of disbelief of where the team is going. So I think that if they lose more than 14 games at that point, I don't think that the NCAA could even somehow sneak them in. Because right now, you know, they may be playing in one of those new play-in games in Dayton just to actually secure a spot into the tournament. But
Rico, you bring up an interesting point, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I really want you to answer this question before we let you go, and we're talking with Rico Beard from Spartan Mag. So let's say they do get into the tournament, okay? In the long run, in the attitude of these players and the attitude of how they play, is it a better lesson for them to barely get into the tournament, or is it better in the long run if they just don't make the tournament this year and learn the lesson of, hey, if you slack off, this is what happens?
I think both can be applicable. I think that if they don't make the tournament at all, then they'll realize that the tournament isn't on your schedule. And you can't take things for granted, and you got to play hard, and you got to bring it every night, every game. If they happen to make the tournament, I think it'll be a gigantic relief off of them. I think that they'll see that we almost had this taken away, but we bounced back, we found a way to win again, we started trusting and believing in each other, and they were able to do it. It was a funny comment from, I was at the Red Wings game last night, and the VP of the Red Wings was telling me that, you know, they're finding out what the Wings and a lot of professional teams are finding out is that games are not, you can't take anything for granted. You just can't hit a switch and automatically start playing. And I think if they don't make it, unfortunately, Kalen and Darrell will go down as, you know, their legacy will get tarnished, and they'll be the leaders of the team of the team of quitters. Because right now it kind of looks like the team has quit on Izzo, quit on the system, and quit on Michigan State. So they're at a crossroads. It can be salvaged. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but if they do it, they're going to earn it, because they're going to have to go through Purdue, Ohio State, Illinois, Minnesota, all the tough teams in order to get there.
Rico, good stuff, man. Rico Beard, SpartanMag.com. You can always go there. They've got fantastic stuff. Get a subscription. It's awesome. Rico, we appreciate it, man.
No problem, man. Anytime, anytime.
All right, Rico Beard, SpartanMag.com. When we come back, our picks on the Super Bowl. It's Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.